pray. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that you live in us and that we can have a confidence and a peace with you when we understand who we are and what you've done and to whom we belong, what we believe, and what we are becoming. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Spirit. And we pray today, Lord, that we would be in awe of the so what of Easter, the so what of the resurrection, that we would be in awe of the truth that you want us to walk in, that you want us to be and do your truth in our lives. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us not just to be people who speak with words and with tongue, but do not love in our actions and truth. But Lord, we would be people who belong to you, who believe and know you and are in relationship with you, and want to become more like you each day, growing in righteousness and purity, understanding the gift of your Holy Spirit and the power that you give for us to live as your children, and a desire to put our words and our thoughts into action. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ever since Jesus is questioned by Pilate, and Jesus says that what he is saying is true, Pilate utters those famous words, "What is truth?" It's funny, things haven't changed a whole lot since Pilate's time, have they? When we talk about truth, how many people think that truth is what I think it is? Anybody met anyone lately who defines truth by what they think? There's no such thing as objective truth. Everything is relative. And we come across as arrogant if we say there is a truth and the truth is undeniable. And it's unfortunate because for that reason, truth has become something that is divisive rather than something that brings us together. Truth has become something that tends to be looked at as subjective rather than objective. And so, you know, it's okay for you to have your truth as long as I can have my truth. And as long as you don't contradict my truth, it's fine for you to have and to espouse your truth. As long as it doesn't, you know, come up against mine. Am I making sense here? This is confusing, isn't it? But this is the time into which God has called us to do ministry. It's a time into which God has called us to be his children and to live out his truth in an environment where truth is something that people are scared of. And so when we were preparing for this series of the So What of Easter, why is it that we continue as a church to worship on the Sundays instead of Saturdays, which is the Sabbath? Why we continue to worship on Sundays? Because it's a reminder to us each and every week of Easter. What is the big so what of Easter? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. That's the so what. And that truth, that instance, that experience changes everything. It changes everything. And there's no mistake, I think, that when we look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, it harkens back to John 3:16, where we heard last week, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Right? We all learn this. If we haven't, someone will tell you, trust me. And what does 1 John 3:16, we just heard it, what does it say? Yeah, Jesus laid down his life for us. That's love. Jesus laid down his life for us. And so what St. John is saying is, if you want to understand what it means to be a believer, is to understand the so what of Easter is that we just don't believe up here in our brain with our thoughts, but we believe and it shows forth in our actions. If you were to summarize the thought, if you were to summarize modern thinking, you could go back to a French philosopher named René Descartes. And what's René Descartes famous for? Anybody take philosophy here this year?
I think, therefore I am.
How many of us have heard that? I can tell. Yes. And Descartes was trying to prove that we exist. And you might say, what a waste of time that is. And I would agree with you. But anyways, he wanted to prove that we exist. And so his process took him to a point where he finally came down to this one simple thing. I think, therefore I am. And really, when you look at modern life today, people operate under that same type of premise. I think, therefore I am. And it's kind of like they stop there. Have you ever noticed that? I exist, therefore I am. But I have good news for you. It doesn't end there. Because what God wants is he wants us to say, I think, therefore I am. I think, therefore I do. That make sense? Because part of the problem we have, and I'm guilty of this as a Lutheran pastor, is I want you to understand that you belong to Jesus Christ, that he died for you, he rose again for you, and what St. John is saying in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 is very true, that we should believe that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and that is the definition of love. Goes back to John 3, 16. It's the simple truth that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die for us. He did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. I want you to leave here today knowing you belong to God. If you're probably going, oh, Brian's preaching again. Here we're going to hear the same thing again. We belong to God. Mm-hmm. You don't understand. This is what scares Satan at his core. This is what scares Satan at his core is if you really understand and know with not only your head but your heart that you belong to God, it scares him to his core. But then if you go on to the next step, which is that relationship that God wants to have with us, and you understand that he wants us to recognize that the so what of Easter is the so what of truth, that when we know this truth, we have confidence. We have confidence to move forward. And so we're not just going to think it, but we're going to do it. And I watched a movie. You probably figured this out. I love history. And so every movie that comes out, Brian Perkins recommended that I watch this one. So I'm going to give him the credit for it. But the Iron Lady, Margaret Thatcher. Any of you remember Margaret Thatcher? Took on Argentina. I was actually starting my training in the Canadian Armed Forces at the time, and I was quite fascinated by her boldness. It was inspiring to take on the Falklands issue, and so I wanted to watch that movie. And one of the things she kept saying over and over again throughout the movie was a quote, and she changed the words a little bit, but it comes from Gandhi. And the quote I thought was fascinating because she was using it to find in her ability to keep going when she was being persecuted by her enemies. And it's this: your beliefs become your thoughts, your thoughts become your words become your actions become your habits become your values, and your values become your destiny. Have you heard this before? Do you believe it? I believe it. I'm not telling you I agree with what Gandhi taught. I'm not a Hindu. But I think that we can learn some things, can't we? And one of the things I think he had this right. I think watching people, we understand this. And that's why when we say belong, believe, and become, it's important that you just don't stop at belief, but that you go on to becoming, to behaving the way that you say you believe. And the reason this is important is because we want to grow closer to our Lord. And so we want our thoughts and our deeds to be like the thoughts and deeds of our Savior, right? If we're in a relationship walking with someone, how many of you have a strong relationship with either your friend or your spouse or your family, and you're walking in an entirely different direction from them? And you can honestly say, we have a really close relationship. I'll give you an example. How many of you can say, my best friend and I smoke, I drink, I sleep around, I do all of this stuff, and he spends all of his time in Bible study, in church, in worship, in reaching out, and we're just so close. Do you know that over time, if you're going in one direction and someone else is going in another direction, what happens? Yeah, you drift apart, right? Yeah, it's a natural thing. If you are going in one direction and someone else, even though you started off and you were close at the beginning, what happens? See this in marriage. We see this in relationships all the time. If you're going in one direction and the other person's going another direction, what's going to happen? You grow apart. Well, the same thing happens in our relationship with our God. If our actions are inconsistent with what we believe, if we're saying we believe something and yet we're not acting on it, this is what St. John is talking about in his letter to the churches. If we say we believe this and yet we don't act on it, are we being consistent? Are we growing? Is our will becoming closer to God's will? Is our life and our relationship becoming closer with our Lord? No. So we want everyone here today to understand you are loved. Jesus loves you. God loves you. There's no mistake here. We are saved by grace through faith, not by works lest any man should boast, Ephesians chapter 2. But we also are told we are prepared for good works. He's prepared us for good works. And he wants us to live out our lives by showing what we believe on the inside through what we do on the outside. Am I wrong? But we don't want that motivation to come from our desire to please an angry God, and therefore we're going to do these works in order to try to appease God. No, we do them because of what we believe. And listen again, your beliefs become your thoughts. Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your values, and your values become your destiny. Why is it important, therefore, to want to become like Jesus? Listen, I said, to want to become like Jesus. To want to be in that relationship with Jesus. To want to grow closer to a Savior who loves us and died for us. Who wants us to love. As St. John so aptly puts it, he says, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. It's when we can rest and be at peace with God when our thoughts and our deeds are lined up together. When what we believe is what we do. And I think in Western thought, it's become really an amazing thing. And this is what St. John is dealing with. He's writing to the churches. He's writing into a Gnostic world where there's a separation between our thoughts and our actions. Where our thoughts or our brains or our spirit is a higher thing than our actions. Our sinful, in Greek thought, matter is evil and spirit is good. And so as long as we're right in the spiritual side, then we can just let everything else just kind of happen. And I'm here to tell you, in Hebrew thought, they never separate those things. They don't separate those things. Heart and mind are the same thing. It all actually rests in your belly. So they don't talk about, when you hear it Hebrew in Old Testament scripture, when they're talking about heart, it's not actually like we think in Greek thought that it's our heart and our mind. They don't do that. They talk about your guts. You want to understand what they mean when they talk about feelings or passion? It's in your guts. I always liked that. I don't know. There's something about that I liked. It's a much better explanation than the heart. But what's amazing is the brothers and sisters, I don't want you to forget that every Sunday we come here to celebrate the truth of Easter. Every Sunday we come here to celebrate that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And for that reason, he's changed everything. We know the truth, and the truth that sets us free is this, that Christ rose from the dead. He's won victory over sin, death, and the devil, and he's chosen us. He's forgiven us all of our sins, and he's given us a fresh start, and he's asking us, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? We're going to celebrate graduates today who are graduating, and I'm going to ask the same thing of graduates. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? Are you just going to say, well, that was a really fun time? No. Going to get a job. Going to put it to work, right? Going to use what you've learned. Because it's important to put into action what we believe. It's important to do what we are. And I remember when we went to Sheffield, England, someone asked you, what did you really learn there? And it came down to this one phrase, doobie, doobie, do. Do, be, do, be, do. Sounds simple enough? Yes. It was the first message we heard there. It was talking about what you do is who you are. What you do defines what you believe. And we want to make sure that you're doing things because you understand the truth. You're doing things and you're living out your life based upon truth, not upon a lie. Our job is to make sure that what we're teaching here teaches you that foundation of truth so that as you live out your life, what you do defines who you are. People can look at you and say, this is someone whose values are clear. This is someone who understands the truth of what love really means. And love is different than what Hallmark says it is. I have news for you. If this is news for you, we have a problem. Love is different than what Hallmark says it is. Love is sacrifice. Love is commitment. There is definitely times when love is comfort and flowers and sweet words and all those other things. But love, first and foremost, is commitment. I heard someone say, as we were approaching Good Friday, I heard someone say that it was the greatest example of child abuse in history. They said, how can these Christians believe in a God who would send his son into the world to die? You ever heard that? Is that the only one that heard that? I guess so. I was just appalled. You say, well, why do you hear these things? Well, I guess I just, whenever someone starts talking theology, I want to hear what they're saying. And I thought to myself when I heard it, I was appalled. But you know what? I thought, doesn't that fit our modern idea of love? Because our modern idea of love is all warm fuzzies, right? It's all comfort and joy and all the good things of love. And here comes God and John, who says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son into the world to do what? To die for us. To be our sacrifice." That's the definition that God has of love. Is that a little different than our definition of love today? Isn't it? Real love is sacrifice. Real love is not about comfort, but about commitment. And when we talk about love today, we use the word, and yet so many people misunderstand it. And I don't want people to come here and say, "Oh, there's a church where they tell you that love is all about sacrifice." It's not all about sacrifice, but from God's definition here, and what is so important about the gospel lesson today, and I want you to hear what Jesus said when he was talking about him being the good shepherd. What did he say? What did Jesus say about him giving his life for our sins? What did he say in John chapter 10? He is laying down his life for the sheep. It's his choice that he does this. It's his calling. It's his purpose. He wants to love so much as to lay down his life for the sheep. Because he knows the sheep, and the sheep know him. He knows the Father, and the Father knows him. He wants to lay down his life for the sheep. So is that person who was talking about child abuse accurate? Not according to the one who they were accusing of being abused. He chose to lay down his life because he understood the importance of the sacrifice. Brothers and sisters, my prayer for us as we grow through this Easter season is that we understand the big so what of Easter is we've got the victory. We belong. We believe what St. John said we should believe. In the name of Jesus Christ who rose again from the dead, we believe that Jesus came to give his life for us sinners. But yet we want to show that love by not just our words, but in actions and truth. And I beg you, as you think about that, to think about sharing with other people truth. Because I'll tell you something. There's a lot of sin in our world, isn't there? There's a lot of sin in each one of us, right? We have a long ways to go to being anywhere near where we ought to be. Would you agree with me? I'm not saying something that you're just horrified by, I hope. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Now, that's the truth. But the only way that we're going to get to the place where we're growing because we want to grow in purity and in that relationship with the Lord is when we have people who have proven to us through relationship, through living life with us, through walking through the hard times with us, those people who we know love us because they've shown they loved us even at the worst. It's those people who can speak into our lives and help us to see the sin and the places where we need to grow. And I want to call you today, as we enter into this summer of the church, you know, we get university, college over right now, and we're getting into that May time and June. I want to ask you to pray that the Lord would put someone in your life this year, and maybe in the fall when the students come back, that we would find someone that we could build into their lives in such a way that we are walking life with them, that we are in relationship with them, that they can understand that we care about them so that we can help them understand the truth. Because the truth will not come in this society, in this day and age, by us just standing on the corner and saying, "You are a sinner! Turn or burn!" You know how far that gets you? If you don't get put in jail for saying that? Pardon me? Yeah. Yes?
Can I testify that Mm-hmm. The Christian Motorcyclists Association experiences the very same thing. They see people saying, turn or burn to the bikers. Uh-huh. And the bikers tell them to go whatever.
I'm sure they use flowery speech. So what I want to challenge you is this summer to spend time with the Lord and to ask Him to bring people into your life. I'm going to do that. I hope you will do that. To bring people into our lives that we can show them through walking life together that we care, that we love them enough to tell them the truth. But it has to come in relationship. Just like it has to come with that relationship that we know the person isn't just doing this to lord it over us and say, oh, we're so much better than you are. Have you ever chafed at discipline because you thought the person was a schmuck who was trying to discipline you? No? Okay. I have. When I was in the military, what I hated the most was being forced to respect those people that weren't deserving of it. That really did not deserve the respect that I had to afford them because of their rank. That was so difficult for me. Because I'm a stubborn person, so, you know. But I did it because it was required. But I want to tell you, there's nothing like having someone in your life that you want to respect because they have earned it. Because they have been there with you through the hard times. They have walked with you through the valleys. And so when they say to you, you know what? This is an area in your life where you really need to deal with this. There's an area in your marriage where if you continue in this direction, it's going to lead to destruction. There's an area in your relationship that if you don't get a handle on this, this is going to lead you down a path where you're going to get further and further away from God because this is what happens when you go in this direction. We will never have the ability to share the truth until we have relationship with people. That's the age into which God has called us. This is a time which God has called us to serve. Would you accept that challenge? To pray that God would put someone in your life that you could build into their life so that you could share with them the truth, even though the truth is so different from what they think it is. That it's going to require you living life with them for a long time in some cases before you will have earned the right to share this truth. Are you willing? Because I know you're able. I know you're able because if you believe in Jesus Christ, He's given you the tools. It's His Spirit that lives in us. It's the Spirit He gave us. That's what chapter 3 ends with in 1 John. It's the Spirit that God has given us that gives us the power to do this stuff. It's not our own power, but it requires this time and this effort and this relationship. And that's hard. And it takes time. Mm-hmm. Amen. So I don't want to. This is the problem when I stay up at nights. I didn't get much sleep last night. I stay up at nights worrying about sharing this kind of stuff with you because I don't want you to leave here feeling burdened. Now, I just said this love is more than just comfort, right? But I want you to leave here feeling burdened. I want you to leave here knowing that I believe in you, that Jesus loves you, that He died for you, and that He's given you His Holy Spirit so that you can do what He's called us to do. You can be light and salt in the world, and He desperately wants us to share this truth with people. Does He not? Isn't that why we exist? Isn't that why we're here? I'm just trying to help for us to understand that this is a different time. It's a different time. Crusades don't work anymore. Standing on the street corner doesn't work anymore. It's all about relationship. And the only way we're going to have any effect on the people whom God has called us to serve whether it's at EMU in Ypsilanti, Washtenaw County, Michigan, Minnesota, wherever it is when we build into people's lives and share with them this truth. Because this is the truth that sets people free. This is the truth that sets people free. And they need to hear it. And we're not being effective because we just think if we stand up and shout it from the rooftop, people will respond. If we put up big screen TVs and just keep it on a loop, people will respond. It doesn't work. Because God has designed us to be in, we're people who need relationship. He wants to be in relationship with us, and He wants us to be in relationship with others. Brothers and sisters, please prayerfully consider this call. Prayerfully consider who God will place in your life this year.